Hi there, I'm Eric Legata, features writer with the Columbus Dispatch. I recently had the chance to catch up with former Ohio State basketball player Michael Redd, who moved back to Columbus after retiring from the NBA in 2013. We started our conversation with Michael talking about where his love of the game came from.
Well, if I had to go back to my childhood, I had to start with my parents. I was raised in a two-parent home, which is not common in the areas that I grew up in. But I had a father in the house and I had a mom in the house that really loved me and did the best they could to help shape me as a young man. And we understood the notion of family. Although we didn't have a lot, we were close to the family and we were happy, you know. So our parents did a great job. My sister's parents and I, they meant the world to me. They mean the world to me. And the fact that some of the values that I have today were literally imposed on by them.
What did your parents do for work? I think your father, was he a preacher or is a preacher?
Yeah, pastoring for almost 30 years. And then my mom was a teacher and full-time, obviously, in ministry. And so all I've ever seen from my parents is the ability to serve. They've served people for years, and they've been an incredible example in that regard.
Tell me some stories from your childhood. When did you kind of come to basketball? And do you have any vivid memories of, you know, playing on the playground or anything like that?
Yeah. My dad played. Mm-hmm. So I just saw him play and saw his trophies and saw his news clippings and things of that nature, which was a drawing point for me to the game. And always had a passion for the game, watched NBA games all the time, played all the time, played on the playground. Wherever there was a hoop, I was there. I even had a coat hanger in my closet where I would shoot a sock through it and pretend that was my basketball court. So just completely from a young age consumed with the game and still love it to this day.
And now I'm picturing, did you have like that neighborhood playground where you'd go and play pickup games with other friends and kids and stuff?
A couple of them. I remember playing at John Burroughs number of times throughout my childhood, which was a elementary school that I went to. But the ultimate was J. Ashburn Youth Center. We'd play every day, all day, at the J. Ashburn Youth Center on the west side. And if you could play basketball, you played in that gym. So it was the spot to prove if you could play the game of basketball. Westgate is another place I used to play at all the time, outdoors. So I had a number of courts around the west side where I would kind of just travel, and me and my friends would travel to, and just to find any kind of pickup game we could. Some of the lessons I learned there was grit and resiliency. And if you weren't mentally tough, you weren't going to be able to survive in those environments, because you had hecklers on the sideline. It was a hot, sweaty gym, not too big of a gym, no air conditioning, but it was intense. And you had the best of the best players playing that court. And so if you could survive that court and that environment, you could survive any environment. So by the time I got to the NBA, it was like, oh, I've been to much worse, actually. Although fans boo you and they heckle you, I had seen much worse at the J. Ashburn Youth Center. But I learned a lot, though. I learned how to get back up once you get knocked down. So it was a tough environment, but it was also somewhat, in a unique way, a nurturing environment as well.
Were these pickup games, or was it like an organized league?
Pickup games. Pickup games. Mm-hmm. And one of the managers of the center was Keith Neal, who helped. He was another father figure, extension of my dad when I wasn't around my dad, and really, really helped me understand the essence of hard work. And it was unforgiving, but it was tough love at the same time. It was an environment where a lot of my characteristics that I have now were honed.
Yeah, and so then you went on to play in high school. What do you remember from those days playing at high school? What sticks out to you?
Playing at high school is where I grew. And a lot of people have aspirations to play professional sports, and particularly basketball, but you almost have to hit the genetic lottery to make it. And I was 6 foot or 5'10 as a freshman, and all of a sudden by my junior year, I'm 6'4", 6'5". And you know, my game kind of evolved in high school and had great times in high school, had great friends that I was surrounded by and great coaches. So I was nurtured and incubated in high school.
You ultimately chose Ohio State, but did you have like other colleges like recruiting you or anything?
I did. Yeah. I had the whole Big Ten recruiting me. I had Duke recruiting me, teams from out west, so pretty much the nation recruiting me. And but at the end of the day, I wanted to come to Ohio State, and it was a program that was struggling at the time, and I wanted to be a part of the resurgence of the program. And I've always had this notion that home comes first. And I didn't want to go to another program that was doing great things to help that program. I wanted to come and stay home to Ohio State to see that program resurrect. And we were able to do that. Yeah, I had great success. We wound up going to the Final Four my sophomore year. We had the largest turnaround in NCAA history, from being 1-17 one year in the Big Ten, 8-20 for the season, to the next year actually making it to the Final Four and being the top-ranked team in the country. So, and then my junior year, we went on to be Big Ten champions. And so had a lot of success, but not after a lot of hard times my freshman year, which made us appreciate the good times.
And then, was it after your junior year you decided to go out for the NBA?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know, I think that around that time, there were a lot of people who obviously wanted you to stay and come back. So I guess, tell me about what made you, you know, what kind of was the thing that made you make that decision? Like, I'm ready to go pro.
Self-belief. And I just knew I could make it. In despite of a lot of naysayers and people who didn't believe that I could make it, I just had self-belief, and I had people around me cheerleading me on the decision. It was a hard decision because of all the success we had in college. Why not come back again to, you know, break records and win more championships and things of that nature? But I knew my time was up.
And obviously, yeah, the Bucks drafted you in the second round, I guess. Was, you know, what was your feeling when you got drafted? Were you expecting, you know, were you kind of expecting to get taken in the second round, or what were your expectations going into draft night?
Oh, to be the number one pick. It's my aspiration, but it didn't work out that way. But I had a positive attitude in a sense where at least I got drafted. You know, there's thousands of people who enter the NBA draft that never get drafted. And I was one of the top 43 players drafted in the NBA draft. So now go prove yourself and work hard.
Yeah, and I got to ask you about your Olympics experience, because obviously, again, you got to play with like some huge, I think you were with Kobe and Dwayne and was it LeBron?
LeBron.
Yeah. What was that experience like?
It was amazing. Yeah. It was amazing. Just to go to the Olympics. It was amazing. I mean, you're playing with the best players in the world at the same time. It's an experience that I'll never, ever forget. It's the pinnacle of my athletic career by far. And we won the gold medal, which was incredible. And we all were crying and teary after we won the medal. And I think the most appreciative we were because of it, because of what we went through 3 years before that. We had 3 years together every summer, which made us appreciate that moment even the more of all the hard work that we put into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then, and I think it was the 2013 season was your retirement season?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, again, that had to be a tough decision to kind of decide, you know, I'm going to step away from this game that I love. How did you make that decision?
Well, at that point, I kind of knew that my love for the game had waned. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to spend more time being a dad and a husband. Mm-hmm. And that took priority over basketball. And so it's just that simple. For me, it was a time to leave the game fairly young, but I wanted to leave healthy. I didn't want to hurt myself anymore. I didn't want to have to go through the pain and travel and missing special holidays, my family and my kids. So family took priority over playing basketball at that point. So it was a difficult decision, but at the same time, it was necessary.
You mentioned your family. Tell me about you and your wife. How did you meet your wife?
I've known my wife since we were 5 years old.
Really?
Yeah, so we came out of the same church growing up. And then her dad became a pastor, and then my dad became a pastor. So,
what church was that?
Her dad's church was All Nations. My dad was Philadelphia Deliverance. Mm-hmm. And then we came out of Victory Deliverance Church as kids. But I would see her all through high school, and we finally reconnected at 23 and said we need to be together for real. So, but I've known her for a long, long, long time. Yeah. And we've been married 13 years mm-hmm. and together 16 years altogether. Mm-hmm.
So 23 years old, you would have been in the NBA at that point.
Yep.
So how did you kind of reconnect?
Mutual friend of ours said you need to meet each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was in pursuit of stability and really wanted to get connected to a really sound, grounded woman. I knew I needed that in my life, not only in my career, but in my life. And she was at the same point in her life. And so we came together through mutual friends mm-hmm. and took a date. And we knew that this is my life partner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was magical, man.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. So, and how many kids do you guys have together?
We have two kids. My son is 12 and my daughter's 8. And we can see ourselves in them every single day. It's amazing when you have kids. It's a beautiful thing to watch mm-hmm. them grow up.
Yeah. So I'm curious then, so when you retired from the NBA, kind of take me through your life after that. I guess I'm just kind of curious to find how you found your way back to Columbus.
Yeah. Upon making the decision on where to live after retirement, Columbus was the easy place to live for us, about to pick. First of all, our family's here. Mom and dads are here, and we had support with our children. And then Columbus is just a great family city.
Yeah. I guess when you kind of got out of the NBA, was it, you know, a challenge figuring out, like, what's the next step in my life, I guess, or how did you kind of step back and kind of reevaluate what you wanted to do now?
Well, I understood the core value of my life is to help people. So how can I help impact people the most? Obviously, we have our nonprofit. It's called The Wave, which we launched in 2008. Mm-hmm. But before I retired even, I started investigating what I wanted to do and what I might be passionate about. And entrepreneurship wound up being one of the things that I really took a hold of. In fact, my whole career was entrepreneurship, actually, and taking risk and believing in yourself. And so I had a lot of those characteristics and life experiences that I could help with other entrepreneurs and CEOs. And so begin to learn the VC world a little bit and understood what angel investing meant and got involved in that. And I kind of leveraged who I was in MBA to meet some really credible people in California, Silicon Beach area, and begin to network and meet different people. And it was great. But it's been great, as I was saying before with you, seeing the development of companies and seeing the development of people as companies grow.
And so Wave, is this something, do you co-own it or how does, tell me about that.
So the Wave is the nonprofit, which is committed to holistically helping people in their journeys. Obviously, being a Christian, it's spiritually based, but there's a lot of holistic applications that we can use to help people. So what we did was met with Ohio State a few years ago, and we were just passionate about helping the younger generation in their businesses and in their hearts. And one of the things that popped up was we need a space, we need a place. And so we decided to get a place in the Short North where we can kind of house creatives, innovators, and help connect people who needed to be connected.
You know, I mean, just tell me about like what this all means to you. To like, you know, you came back to Columbus and, you know, you've done all of this outreach and, you know, continue to be so heavily involved, I guess. You know, why is that important to you?
Well, I want to see people become leaders. I spend a lot of time in just development, leadership development, and just helping people grow, not only helping them with their businesses, but helping them with their wellness as well, and which is important. You know, taking the time out to not only care about, you know, the ROI, but how's their heart doing and how's their life doing. And the better and the well, that the more whole they are as people, the better the product they produce. And that's been our mantra since we've been here and set up here in the last couple of years. We have a lot of people who are broken trying to run businesses, and we spend a lot of time with them on their hearts and their minds, and from that, their businesses grow and become more healthy.
We want to thank Michael Redd for sharing his story with us. You can read the story I wrote at dispatch.com.